Would you pray with me? Oh God, open us to hear your word, to journey with you along this path to the cross, through this week of Holy Week, waving our palms and yet also knowing that there is much in store. Lord, we live in a heavy time, and so we ask that you would come close to us all the more in this season. Lord, the grass withers and the flower fades, but we trust that your word stands forever, our rock and our redeemer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to, if you've pulled open a bulletin, you can kind of disregard that right now, because I've made a few changes to my plan for sermon today, and the texts are all different, and so I'll begin by reading from the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to read from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11, which is the story of the triumphal entry, which we've just heard Tracy so beautifully tell. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of the Lord. Now, rather than continue on with the two final marks of vitality that we've been reviewing through this season of Lent, I'm going to pause this week and next to focus on the Passion of Christ and Resurrection Sunday. We will return to those marks, and I hope we'll find a deeper understanding of them as we encounter Christ, who walks alongside us through all of this in vibrant and vital ways, as well as through all that is painful and dark. We find ourselves entering Holy Week in a very different way than we had expected. 3 months ago, weren't we in the dead of winter, looking forward to the warmth of spring and gathering together on this high feast day of the church calendar? Weren't we planning to be out on the first bike rides of the year? Or perhaps we were planning to be sitting poolside at a warm destination, kicking back on the opening weekend of spring break, right now. We had hoped to be celebrating the glorious coming of Christ into the city of Jerusalem by waving palm branches together, seeing our church community gathered in full force, our children singing and processing down the aisle, joy on their faces. We had hoped to hear the story of Christ entering Jerusalem to overturn tables and enter the drama of the Passion. And we had hoped that we could skip all of the hard stuff and emerge on Easter Sunday with hymns of praise and shouts of hallelujah once more. We have instead found ourselves in the greatest Lent any of us have ever experienced, I believe. A true Lent of withholding, refraining, sheltering, and ridding ourselves of all that is extra, and we are weary. We're ready for resurrection. We want to rush to it, for this whole thing to be over. We want Christ to come and overthrow the powers. Strangely, it seems that we have been offered a gift with this pandemic. Not a gift we would choose, but a gift we need. How often is it that you've received a gift from someone who knows you well, perhaps a parent or a grandparent, and you've wondered, what in the world am I going to do with this? Like, this isn't what I asked for. I have a number of cherished items around my home that were hand-me-downs and small gifts from my family. And at the time, they seemed like nothing all that significant. A pocket knife, a chair, an old photograph. But as the years went on, those gifts took on new meaning to me. Rather, I began to realize how rich those gifts were and how I had been given them from a place of deep understanding and love of what I would need, not what I would want. I say that this pandemic is perhaps a gift, not because it is what we want, but perhaps it is stirring something in us that we need. We are being invited into the deep grief of Holy Week. In a way this year that I think none of us have really ever encountered before, or we've been afraid to truly embrace. The way of the cross has always had this silver lining of coming resurrection. Let's just wait until it's all over. But this year, perhaps, we can slow down enough to recognize that something else is going on in this story. And if we do, we find a God of solidarity, a God who knows our pain and our fear, a God who enters deeply into the places of pandemic and hardship and job loss and cancer and miscarriages and Alzheimer's and despair with us. Not to move too quickly away from it with us, but to know us and to lament with us and to long with us and to help us all slowly heal as the world spins madly on. On this Palm Sunday, we find a king who enters into the city in glory, but not the way that we'd think. The palm branches are waving and the shouts of Hosanna go up, but the story doesn't go in the direction of triumph the way we'd like it to. There is no overthrow of the Roman occupation. There is no rise to the throne of King David. There is no white stallion, just a colt. And so again, we see the gift that we receive this week during a season of pandemic is not one of immediate healing or miraculous end of struggle. Rather, the God we discover in this Holy Week pilgrimage is a God of suffering. A God who knows pain and knows that we must enter into it in order to find life. Now, the people wanted a hero, but God has never been about heroes. The people wanted an earthly king, but God has never been about propping up theocrats and leaders who wear crowns. God has been up to something very different all along. Instead of charging in and overthrowing, God has been up to the work of coming intimately close to the ones that God loves, denying privilege and power, and finding solidarity with the weakest, the poorest, the most vulnerable, the thieves, the outsiders, the brokenhearted, and the lost. Hear the hymn of Christ, the passage of emptiness from the book of Philippians, where we hear the depth and intimacy of Christ's love for humanity and the glory of Christ's solidarity with us. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, I don't mean to be presumptuous, but I believe I can speak for many of us in the deep lament that we're experiencing right now. This is a season of such grief. And you know what? I need Christ to be there in the grief. I do not need a God who is a strong man, who can wipe all the pain away with swift legislation or a miracle cure. I do not need a God who eases my mind with platitudes about a brighter day when we get back on our feet. I need a God who comes close to into the pain with me here and now. I need God to know what it's like to fear for the health of my family, my loved ones, my community. I need God to know what it's like to have to wear a protective mask when we go out into the world. I need a God who knows intimately what hunger feels like for the ones who've lost their income and can no longer buy enough groceries. I need a God to stand in solidarity with me as I struggle to put on a happy face each day in the face of so much uncertainty. I need a God who is willing to let go of all pretense, all privilege, all justification of power, and instead choose to lovingly listen, be present in the sorrow and affliction, to know empathy and experience the tears. I need God to be with us, as Emmanuel has promised to be. Here is the gift that we've been given this Holy Week. It is the gift of emptiness. Our church is empty this morning. The one place that we hoped and expected that God would always dwell and be present is empty. And friends, this is a gift. Because in this emptiness, we find the person of Christ who knows emptiness with us. As Christ's life is poured out, it's not Christ of fullness and glory who has come on a white horse to become reigning earthly king. Not at least not yet. No, this is a broken, bruised, and scarred man who loves humanity and enters into the emptiness with us. Right where we are. We do not end today on a high note. Rather, we journey deeper into the reality of the pain. We journey to the table, where bread and cup became elements of our redemption, and yet also preceded betrayal and murder. We journey into darkness, not out of some nihilistic view that nothing matters, but darkness, because darkness and death are what we know. And we must experience them if we are truly to be human. And we journey through it all because the only way out is through. We do not choose this path. Christ chose this path. Christ chose the path that no one would choose because Christ loves us and wants us to know this and experience this pain alongside us so that we can be set free of it. The journey leads to freedom. The journey of emptiness leads to freedom. And it's a road that Christ walks in solidarity with us. Friends, we journey deeper in as we begin this holy week. Know that Christ journeys with us. Let's pray together. Christ, journey deeper into this pain and fear, uncertainty of our world. Journey along the road with us that we don't necessarily always know where is heading. Journey with us so that we can know your intimate love and kindness and care, forgiveness and grace, as we journey toward the cross with you. We hold hope that the only way out of this is through it, and that you are holding us along the way.